Now, we'll turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow before Thee again this evening and acknowledge Thy goodness towards us yet another day. We thank Thee, Father, for temporal provisions that we enjoy and have in such abundance. And yet, Father, beyond anything that's ever temporal, for the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. Father, we thank Thee that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ a hope which none can take away. We thank Thee, Father, for that link that's come because of that great sacrifice made at Calvary. And we're stopped in our tracks again tonight to think that the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. We thank Thee, Father, that He hung in the darkness and endured that awful judgment, that we may ever dwell with Him in the light. What a Saviour we have. We bless Thee, O God, and we'll continue for all eternity, for in the ages to come He shall show us the exceeding riches of His grace. Father, we bless Thee that we can take up the Word of God tonight, and we do pray that it would be for our edification. Teach us, guide us, correct us, guard us, comfort us, strengthen us. That, Father, tonight we would leave this little hall buoyed, enjoyed, and encouraged by Thy living Word, which stands for all eternity. We thank Thee, Father, now for this precious time together. Help us, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me, please, to Romans and chapter 14, and we'll continue on these thoughts concerning the Bema, the judgment seat. Now, there is a fair bit to get through tonight. I've probably overstepped the mark and started a couple of minutes late, so you'll bear with me if we run a couple of minutes past the hour, because I do want to get this chapter covered. We'll read the chapter through, Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him despite that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth judge him. For God, him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. But whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? For why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. For I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and therewith, and things wherewith we may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offence. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Now, as I said, we want to get through this chapter and have a look at it in its context and see it in relation to the judgment seat of Christ. We have been looking at the judgment seat of Christ in these meetings, of course, and we have seen how that we're going to be assessed. Christ is going to assess our service. We're going to give an account to God. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When this little life is over and we're called away, this present dispensation is finished. The Lord calls home all those who make up the bride, those linked with him in that particular way. We're going to be called up and we're going to give an account for our service here. We look at the varying things we will give an account for over these past nights. I want to say this here every time I go home, of course, and you would do the same. We look through these scriptures. There is so much in these scriptures. How could I have not seen that? Why did I leave that out? Why didn't I make this point? Well, you see, we couldn't possibly cover everything. It's just so prevalent with divine truth and practical instruction and exhortation and comfort and encouragement and correction. Just to know this, so that my service for Christ is going to be assessed, it's going to be examined, it's going to be scrutinized, it's going to be opened up, it's going to be made manifest, it's going to be laid out. And I'm going to give an account for every detail of my service to Christ here below. We've said on past occasions, and we say again tonight, it should stop me in my tracks to analyze just what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But it should also do this, and I want to bring this into the meeting again tonight. It should encourage us to be faithful to God and to his word. Encourage us that no matter what the world says, no matter what Christendom says, no matter what anybody says, I come to the word of God and I stand upon the foundation which cannot shake, and I serve according to a word that cannot err and cannot change, is infallible. And I walk home to heaven in assembly fellowship with my brothers and sisters, hand in hand, public building, personal service. Tonight we'll see that we're going to be assessed on our private service. That which is now, we looked last night at the motives. That which I could not even have the authority or the ability to come to a judgment of myself. Tonight we want to see that which is private. And in contrast to that which is personal, I want to see it like this. This is what happens really within the confines of my own home. This is the setting. This is the context of this section that we've read. If we were to read from 13 through 14 and on to through chapter 15, we would see that the apostle now is dealing with disputations that arise of things that are of secondary importance. I want to make this clear at the beginning of the meeting tonight. That which is of fundamental importance according to the Word of God in our public building into the local assembly that we saw a few nights ago, that which is according to the Word of God in that we have judgments that we stand by and we saw last night, they're not my judgments. It is of the Word of God. Now we'll see in the meeting tonight that everything that I do must be based upon the Word of God. But there are things of secondary importance that now, outside of the assembly, I may do in my own home, and you may do in your own home, and we may differ. But they're not things which are outside the bounds of Scripture. They're based on biblical principles. They're based on biblical precepts. My conviction before God is that this is to the honor of Christ and to the service of Christ. But you may differ from me privately. So what do we do? This is in particular, of course, the primary understanding of this chapter is that there were Jews and there were Gentiles dwelling together. They were different socially. They were different culturally. They were different religiously. They had come from different backgrounds. They had different experiences. They had based their lives on different convictions. You had the Jews on this hand, and they based their convictions on Holy Scripture. They were on very safe ground. It must have been a very, very difficult thing for the Jews. Having been converted, born again, now in this New Testament dispensation, to understand this, that much of what they practiced and what their forefathers practiced, they no longer needed to. The Sabbath, no longer. There's a new day. Those things that we would never eat, no longer. Those practices that we held, those sacrifices that were made, no longer. And so the Jew had to get used to a very new way of life. Now you had the Gentiles on this hand. And the Gentiles, they had not these convictions of Holy Scripture. They came from a background of idolatry, heathenism. They came from a background which was in stark contrast to the Jews. They had no promises. Their lifestyles had been careless. They now had to come in and conform to the Word of God and get used to what it was to dwell in fellowship with the Jews. The Jews would have no contact with the Gentiles. The Gentiles, they looked down on the Jews. The Jews looked down on the Gentiles. The Gentiles criticized the Jews. Now with these two very stark different backgrounds, they come together in the close association of assembly fellowship. How's it going to work? Well, this brother here, he invites this brother here to his house for a meal. There's some very, very different opinions held concerning what they would eat, about the practices that they would uphold. And as they merge together as one in fellowship with one another, for this whole book is concerning the fellowship of an assembly. And as they merge together in fellowship of an assembly, now they have to work out their differences on a, that are private. Now this one here, he's doing this, and he's sincerely doing it before God in service to Christ. This one here, he's doing this, and he's sincerely doing it before God, according to the Word of God. He bases what he does on Scripture. But they see there's a difference. So says the Apostle, we read through this and we find that this one, you know, if you can just use a bit of force, you know, get alongside your brother, get that arm up behind the back, and just get it to the point where it's causing a little bit of pain, and then just tweak it a little bit and get them to see your point of view. Is this what the Apostle has been saying throughout this chapter? And this one here, he used to criticize, he used to look down, this Jew here, he used to look down on this Gentile for his careless practices, without Christ and no hope without God. And he looked down on him, and he may have despised him in the past. And this Gentile here, he may have criticized the Jew for being so particular and so meticulous. And now they find themselves at assembly fellowship. And they're reminded of this, that in their differences, the way they act with their differences, they're going to be assessed at the judgment seat of Christ. So brother, sister, I might do things in my home which differ from you. And I face them. They're not compromising any fundamental doctrine. They're not conflicting with any assembly principles. And I do them sincerely out of a heart of service for Christ. And I sincerely base it upon the Word of God. And I do it because I think it's honoring to Christ. And you over here, you just don't see it like that. And you do something, and I don't see it, and you base this upon the Word of, well, how do you get along together? I've got a good idea. You just never go to each other's homes. Just give up the friendship. Cancel the meals. You live your life, I'll live my life, we'll meet at the assembly on Lord's Day. Well, the Apostle says, if you do that, you'll suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Now he's going to give them this grand instruction as to how to behave, and remind them that their behavior is going to come under assessment at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to give an account for how I behaved with my brother and with my sister when I held a differing opinion to them. Things, again, we want to make clear, they did not compromise fundamental doctrine. They were things of secondary importance. But equally, I held it because I felt it was honoring to Christ and according to the Word of God. It wasn't based on mindless decisions that just because I thought so. We'll learn through this chapter that these opinions, these things that I hold, are based wholly upon the Word of God. But this brother and sister doesn't see that. They see it differently, how we do behave. Well, in verses 1 to 3, I want us to see reception, disputation, and it's according to our service. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. What does this mean? One believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs or just vegetables. Let not him that eateth, that eats all things, despise him that eateth not, obviously the meat. But let him that eateth, and let not him that eateth, let not him that eateth not, that's the vegetarian, judge or criticize him that eateth. For God hath received him. I want to say, brothers and sisters, it is a sign of spiritual stature to bear the infirmities of the weak. This is chapter 15 and verse 1. It is a sign of spiritual maturity and strength. I might see my brother or my sister and they're holding to a practice which I just can't see from Scripture. Or it's not what I would do. It's not compromising anything. It's not a fundamental importance. It's not compromising or conflicting anything of fundamental importance. It's not conflicting anything in the assembly. But I see there is a difference. And so I see, well, maybe there's just a spiritual weakness. They just don't, maybe I would feel they just don't see that yet. So he says here, it's a sign of spiritual strength when you deal with this in a right way. You see, what I'm prone to do is this. If I think someone's weak and they've missed the point, or they're practicing something which really I can see, I feel I see a little bit better on it. You know, there's something within me that just kind of naturally just despises that. And you see, here is a person then that's over here, and they're practicing something, and they're holding to it dearly, and they're practicing it because they feel it's honoring to Christ, and they see that person over there, and that person's not practicing that thing. They think they have the freedom and the liberty to not have to practice that thing. And this person over here, he has a temptation, she has a temptation to criticize that person. And it's the same word that we find in Matthew chapter 7. That's why I read it the other night. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Critics. And this person over here that's meticulous, and they want to practice this thing because they feel it's for the glory of God, and it's based on Scripture, and they're doing this in the most particular way, and they see the person over there, and it seems to them that that person may be careless, and so they criticize that person. And this person over here is looking down on that person who they would feel is weak. Well, says the apostle, that's not the behavior that is becoming. And it's not behavior that will gain reward and be to the glory of Christ in the day of assessment. He says, I want you to know that you should receive hospitably, with great friendship. Receive him that is weak in the faith. Well, what do you receive him for? Okay, here's a person, they're practicing something. You just can't quite see that. We've gone over that already. So what, you invite them over for a meal. You say, look, if we could get together next Wednesday, we'll have a meal together. And before they've arrived, you've already kind of summed up in your mind exactly what you're going to do, exactly what you're going to say. And I know how I can change this person's mind on this. I know how I can convince them differently, because I want them to see it my way, you see, because I'm more spiritually mature than them. Well, this, number one, is not a sign of spiritual maturity to go about it like this. And so they come over on Wednesday afternoon and we enjoy the meal together. But you see, halfway through the dinner table, I just make sure I lay down exactly what I see as the better way. And I won't let them leave the dinner table until they've agreed with me. Thank you very much. And if you want any dessert, you better agree with me. And we start this great reasoning and this great dispute and conflict over the dinner table of something of secondary importance. and it's of no conflict to assembly testimony, and it's not compromising any fundamental doctrine. And we just see things a little bit differently here, and we've got this great dispute. He says, don't do that. Remember, you're going to be assessed, and you're going to give account at the judgment seat of Christ. Receive him that is weak in the faith, but not for doubtful disputations, not so that you may dispute with them to change their mind. Don't receive them so you can get into an argument. Receive them, and we'll see why we should receive him. It is according to service. When we come to verse 4, we see here derision, authorization, and this is to do with the servant. Who art thou? Just let me say that again to my own self. Who art thou that criticizes another man's servant? It's that same word, Matthew 7. Who art thou that criticizes another man's servant, that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands, he perseveres, or he fails. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I want us to note this here. You see, sometimes we make this mistake, and it's a mistake made because of the flesh that I carry. I sometimes think that it's a sign of spiritual maturity if, you know, the old weak brother over there, the weak sister here, you know, never blessed them really. Just, and the critics, and the criticizing goes on. And I'm not doing what Paul wrote to the Philippians and esteeming them higher than myself. And I'm not acting towards them with absolute love. There's a critical spirit, and I look down on my brother or my sister, and really what I'm doing is I'm becoming the judge. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Could I ask myself tonight in the meeting, Clive, who's actually going to be sitting in the judgment seat? Who is actually going to be occupying the Bema throne? Who actually is going to be given an account to? Do I think it's me that's going to be seated in the judgment throne in the coming day? Oh, brother and sister, I may as well start now, because it's going to be me there in the coming day, is it? So look, I may as well start the judgment process now. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands and falls. And he says this, if I could really sum up what he's saying, he says, actually the critic will be the one that loses out in the coming day, and it will be the other one who is caused to stand. It will be the other one who God will actually cause him to stand. And while I thought I was all spiritual, and this person better answer than me, and they were just a little bit silly and a little bit weak, and I kind of looked down on them, and I criticized that person for what they were doing when they were sincere in their service, the apostle, basically he's saying this, when you come to the judgment seat, you'll find out this, that you'll actually suffer loss, and they will be the one that God makes to stand. So I just better be careful what I think and how I behave with my brother and my sister when it comes to these matters. I'm not the judge. They're not doing anything that's conflicting assembly testimony. They're not doing anything to compromise the word of God. They're simply holding a practice which they feel is honouring to Christ. And so he says, Just be careful. You're not the judge. You put yourself in the position of the judge, and you'll actually find out they'll be the ones who will stand. Verse 5. Estimation. Persuasion. Now this is not to do with the service or the servant. It's to do with the sovereign. One man, this is verse 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Notice this, by the way, their estimation was the same. This one esteemed one day above another. He gave significance to a certain day. Well, you could imagine, when it comes to the Sabbath, the Jew here, he would give significance to the Sabbath, wouldn't he? And maybe he laid down his tools, and maybe he just kept quiet for the day. And this Gentile over here, he saw no reason to do that, and he went out to work, and he carried his tools, and he walked right past the Jew's house. And the Jew looked out of his window, and the Gentile gave him away as he went off to work. Well, how are you going to behave? I wouldn't do that. Well, I wouldn't do that either. Well, I'm doing this because... Well, I'm doing this because... Well, he says here, now, the estimation of both was just the same. This man esteemed one day above another. This man esteemed every day alike. But his esteeming was of equal value to the person. So he says, what are you going to do here? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I want to just stop here. You have practices, maybe, that I don't practice. I have a practice which maybe you don't practice. And in the confines of our own home, I may do something which you don't see in your home, and you may do something in your home which I don't see in my home. I better be fully persuaded about it in my own mind. I don't just practice something willy-nilly and airy-fairy and just do it because I thought it up the other day and I thought this would be great. He says, let's just be careful here. I want you to be practicing something that you're fully persuaded about in your own mind. This is fully persuaded with the intellect. I just put in a little word there, if I may. Fully persuaded biblically with the intellect. I don't just do a certain practice because airy-fairy, I picked it out of the air one day and I thought this would be good and honouring to Christ. No, he says, every step of the service along the way, just remember this, we're going to be assessed with it. And whatever I do, let each man, whatever the person's opinion, whatever the person's assessment of that situation or of that practice, he says, just make sure that this is what you're fully persuaded about in your own mind. And I must make sure that if I'm doing something and I know that my brother or sister over there are not doing it, and vice versa, that each be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so I'm doing this because I feel it's honouring to Christ. So he says, he that regardeth the day, and he regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord. He doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not and giveth God thanks. Notice what lies behind this is the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. God. Here is our accountability to the sovereign. The servant in his service is accountable to the sovereign. And I'm going to stand before the Christ and I'm going to give an assessment of how I behaved with my brothers and sisters when we had things of differing opinions. And so he says here, if you're doing something, first be fully persuaded in your own mind, but know this, as I said before, that's why I put the word biblical in. Know this, it must be under the law. Under the law. Verse 7. I want to see here examination. We saw estimation, persuasion, I must be fully persuaded, and the sovereign. Verse 7 to 12, I want to see examination, explanation, and now this is to do with self. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live under the Lord, whether we die under the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Note this please, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord. I want to stop here. Let's just consider something for a moment. We're dealing with our brothers and sisters. We're not dealing with anyone. I might shock you, and you might be very disappointed about this statement that I'm just about to make. If you're that disappointed, I'll allow you to walk out. But do you know that you're going to know me in a million years? I'm quite happy about knowing you in a million years from now. But in 1 million years from now, I'm still going to be your brother. And we're still going to be linked in Christ. And in this little sojourn below, how are these people who are linked for eternity going to get on? It's going to be assessed at the Bema. So consider this. Christ died to secure you. He rose again and was revived to secure me. It cost God his beloved Son and the cross of Calvary that we might be secured and belong to the Lord. Oh, how dare I treat you with disdain and contempt. How dare I move in a way to criticize my brother when it's something of secondary importance and not conflicting to any fundamental doctrine. I'm going to be assessed by the Christ who was nailed to Calvary. I'm going to stand before the Bema. He's the judge, not me or you or anyone. Note this, it cost God the cross to secure us. Move into verse 10. So, in consideration that it cost God the cross, why dost thou criticize thy brother? If it cost God the cross, why do I criticize my brother? Why do I judge harshly my sister? If it costs God the cross to secure us, that we might belong to him, that Christ died, rose and was revived, that we might be secured by his love at Calvary. Why, oh why, would I disdain and look down on you for holding something which I maybe just don't see, and you criticize and disdain me? He says, this is no way to behave. In consideration of Calvary, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Examination. Let me do a bit of self-examination now. How am I with my brothers and sisters presently? Are there certain people that I just seem to avoid and I don't have them round to my home and I'd rather kind of keep a bit clear of them, for we just can't seem to get over these little nitty-bitty things. And rather than work through them and embrace my brother or sister in the fullness of hospitality and friendship and kindness like God has done to me, rather than do that, I'll avoid them. I'll shake hands with them on a Lord's Day, but that will be it. Thank you very much. We just can't really stand the company of one another because they're doing something and I don't see it, and I'm doing something and they don't see it. And we have this conflict, and there's despising going on. There's looking down and criticizing going on. Oh, how dare we pick up the phones and criticize a brother or a sister for something they're doing of secondary importance. How dare we? I'm going to be assessed at the judgment seat of Christ for this kind of behaviour. May we be reminded of it. For I want to say it's going on as I speak on this platform. Emails, telephone calls, letters, brothers looking down on brothers, brothers despising sisters, sisters not being able to get along, and it's of nothing of fundamental doctrinal importance that will do anything to the detriment of the assembly of God. It's nothing that is going to compromise and conflict foundational and fundamental truths of salvation. And these things that I may practice in my home and you may practice in your home, oh, they get raised from time to time, for we live with one another and we associate with one another. Oh, would to God that we would refrain ever from criticizing and judging another brother as though we were the ones seated at the bema. When that brother or sister was doing it honestly, out of the integrity of their heart for the Lord. May God preserve us. May God preserve the saints in New Zealand. Examination. Explanation. I'm going to, by myself, give an explanation at the bema. So we see there, examination, explanation in verses 7 to 12, and it is to do with self. When we come to verse 13 to 16, now we see termination, consideration, and it's to do with that which is satisfactory to God. Let us not, therefore, in consideration, immediate consideration that I'm going to stand and give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, let me not therefore judge one another anymore. Oh, brothers and sisters, has this been going on? Let it not go on anymore. Does this go on? Let it not go on anymore. It's not becoming of believers to act like this. It's not honouring for Christ. It's not something which God will just overlook at the great assessment day. I'll give an account to him, and in consideration that I'll give an account at the bema, he says, drop that practice right now. Just put it out. Stop it. Don't do it. Learn to live with one another. I like this. He says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. What's the difference between stumbling block and occasion to fall? He gives this instruction here. Look, in consideration of the bema, Don't do this kind of thing. Just drop it immediately. Not a moment longer. Don't criticize your brother or sister. Don't look down on them and disdain them. They may do something slightly different to you. Don't despise them or set them at naught. Don't gossip on the phone about them. He says, I want to tell you, please don't put a stumbling block or an occasion for them to fall in their way. Well, a stumbling block is something that you would put there on purpose. You know, it's like this. You do something and I don't do it. And so I'm going to invite you over to my house and I'm going to make sure it's like a big red herring. You know, I'm just going to make sure it's there and it's in your face, so that when you come over, you can't avoid this subject, and you can't avoid this thing. I kind of just put it, bang, right in front of you. That's a stumbling block. He says, don't do that. But then an occasion to fall is not now a stumbling stone. It's a snare. It's something deceitful. It's a trap. So you come over to my house and it looks all great on the outside, but I've got a little plan of deception that I can kind of draw you in. And when I get you to a point where I think you're drawn in, now I bring this in. He says, don't do that either. Don't put a stumbling block in someone's way when you know that they hold to something. Don't snare them in a trap and be deceitful. He says, this is not the behavior for Christians. This is not the coming of God. And I'm going to give an account for this, for the way I am with you and the way you are with me, in all our little differences. For we dwell with one another. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy, or really lose him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Don't do this. Don't lose him. We're dwelling together. We're in assembly fellowship. We walk with one another. We move with one another. We're in each other's homes. We're often in each other's company. We dwell together. And so we have these little differences we have to work through. He says, look, if you put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall or a snare in your brother or sister's way, you've done one thing. You've completely ruined that charity, that love that exists between you. And you'd probably lose them at the same time. How do I think I'd be assessed for that? Oh, but I was only trying. No, you weren't. You see, there's something within me. I just want things my way. My way. My. And so he says here, don't act like this. Remember, you're going to be assessed. Remember, Christ died for them. And if you do act like this, it will destroy that relationship you have. You'll lose them. And at the end of the day, we would suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Realization, edification, and self-sacrifice. Verses 17 to 23. Oh, to come to this grand realization that the kingdom of God is not based upon the physical, but upon the spiritual. Come to this grand realization that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Know this, that I must do all that is acceptable to God, and approved of my brethren, approved of my brother. That which is honouring to Christ, I'm moving now in a way through these little differences that we have, through these practices, I'm moving in a way that's acceptable to God, that's honouring to Christ, In consideration that Christ died and rose again. In consideration that I'm going to stand before the judgment seat. In consideration that it's not me that's the judge at the end of the day. In consideration that they're doing it sincerely before the Lord. In consideration of these grand things, let me move in a way that's just acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. You know what this does ultimately, brothers and sisters? It's just a ruin to the work of God. That which we may press forward and plough on and in fellowship one with another, linking arms, absolutely one on the Holy Scriptures of things of fundamental importance, and moving forward in fellowship one with another, we see the kingdom of God in its expansion as the Lord Jesus himself is building his church with the gates at which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And I see and I'm encouraged there, and we're edified one with another, and we see one another built up, and we're moving forward in harmony together. He says at the end of the day, if you act in a way that's contrary to this, like we've been talking about tonight, and you do those things that we've been reminded of tonight, he says it's just a destroying factor for the work of God itself. Oh, brothers and sisters, he's going to take self-sacrifice. And that's how he ends. And that's how we'll end. For meat, destroy not the work of God. In doing all things are pure. But it is evil for man, for that man who eateth with offence. It is not good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor do anything whereby thy brother is stumbled, offended, or made weak. You know, brothers and sisters, living the Christian life, as you well know more than me, is about self-sacrifice. I have to sacrifice sometimes so that I can get on with you. And you have to do the same so that you can get on with me. And if a certain thing is going to stumble my brother or my sister, it would be spiritually mature of me to not stumble them. May we be spiritually mature. I want to emphasize this statement again, for we read verse 1 of chapter 15, didn't we? It's of spiritual stature to be able to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's of spiritual strength, maturity, to behave in a way whereby we may still dwell together in happy harmony, where there's no... It's of carnal nature. It's of spiritual weakness to get on the phone and yap about another brother or sister, or send the emails round about, or criticize or look down on them because they're doing something that I just don't see or I don't do. That's spiritual weakness, and we'll suffer loss at the judgment seat. But it's spiritual strength and spiritual stature, and of that which when I give an account will be to his glory. If I act in a way that's mature and becoming of God. I want to finish with this little thing. I was going through a difficult time on one occasion. For you know, sometimes when you're on the front line, well, I suppose you're the first person to get hit. Tragically, that happens via Christians. You kind of expect to get hit when you're on the front line spreading the gospel from the unsaved. But you know, tragically, brothers and sisters, it's an absolute travesty, and it can be destroying when you get hit by your fellow Christians if there's an acting in a carnal way. Well, I was experiencing and enduring a little hard time not too long ago. And someone sent me something through the post. And it just read like this. And I drew a lot of comfort from it. Men may misjudge thy name, think they have cause to blame, say thou art wrong. Hold on thy quiet way, heed not what men may say. Christ is the judge, not they. Fear not, be strong. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks again for this precious time around thy word. Oh, help us each one, the speaker first and foremost, to take these truths home and put them into practice, that we may be a people that dwell in happy harmony, and that we may see the work of God develop and prosper and flourish, and it may be unto the glory of the Lord Jesus in a coming day. These things we ask, Father, as we return to home now, asking for thy preservation and thy blessing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.